this was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time.
Welcome to Wellness and Dentistry. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Martin Mendelson. I'm a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, thought leader, and author. And I'm joined today, as always, by my dear friend and co-host, Dr. Kyle Stanley, who is a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness and dentistry. And if you're unfamiliar with us, I invite you to check out all of our respective links, websites, and course offerings that are connected to this episode. And speaking of course offerings, if you're liking what you're hearing and you want to come hang out with us, because we're super fun, you can come hang out with us this coming May 9th and 10th, where we are doing our Lightside Live in-person workshop all around wellness for the dental professional, for the dentist, at Glidewell Dental Laboratory in Irvine, California, this coming May. So today, what we're going to discuss is how to wrangle your admin days in dental practice. So Kyle, first of all, hello. How you doing?
Hello. Hello. I'm excited for this one.
Yeah.
I first want to say that if you're listening to this and you're trying to figure out how to wrangle your admin days and you don't have admin days, that's step zero.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, that was me.
Yeah.
I was the person that was always trying to wear both hats in the practice at the same time. And, you know, I have two other partners too. So you would think that we would have figured that out, but no, we were all working clinically and all working from an admin standpoint or an owner standpoint too.
Yeah.
So I think after helping so many dentists, thousands of dentists between Martin and I, what we see so often is that a lot of stress comes from wearing both of those hats at the same time.
Yeah. 100%.
It's like you have to think about yourself almost as two separate people.
Yes.
Like when you're working on patients, think about yourself as the associate. You're an associate. You're there to do clinical dentistry. You're not there at that point to hire and fire and manage and think about the business and all that stuff. You're there to do clinical dentistry. And then just the opposite way is when you have an admin day, which again, you should have.
Yeah.
You're not a clinical dentist that day. It's like, think about yourself as the CEO of the practice that day.
Absolutely. You know, although I personally don't practice anymore, what I do believe I bring to the table is kind of metaphorically parallel to a laboratory technician, meaning your laboratory technician sees case after case after case, digital impression after digital impression, analog impression after. So they get this bird's eye view that you could never have in your own practice. And with you and I working with hundreds and thousands of dentists, that's actually what we bring to the table right here and now, talking about this concept. I heard somebody once say in the speaker world that speaking opportunities merely get in the way of building your business. And so you could even tongue in cheek say, treating patients get in the way of building the practice's business. And so what I mean by that is, because it's not as literal, so please don't take it that way. It's apples to oranges. But the point is, we need to understand that having a successful business, or let me rephrase, organized business from an admin perspective is just as important as the clinical care, because either one can't be fully optimized without the other, right?
And the hard part is that we come into this business as clinical dentists.
Yeah.
We don't come into this generally, unless you've had some other experience,
as
business owners, business people that know this. So you're kind of learning it on the fly, unless you've taken courses or whatever. But even then, you still really learn it in the trenches.
Yeah.
And I think the hard part about so many people not taking admin days is that we make money when we're working on patients.
Correct.
We think we don't make money when we're doing admin days.
Oh,
But I would
yeah.
maybe argue that you do make money, or you're reducing waste, or you're reducing fraud, or you're reducing problems in your practice.
Yeah, I couldn't I couldn't agree with that more. And one of the things that just kind of popped into my head as you were making that comment is, think about optimizing your scheduling template, which I hope you have. That you would be doing theoretically on an admin day, and that's critically important to running a efficient, successful practice. And so, yeah, the admin days do drive production in a myriad of ways. But the challenge, though, is particularly if you're just starting out or you have a smaller practice, we get so buried in all of the things that we have to get done. And that's something I've observed. And we're going to be talking today a lot about my course, Leadership Mastery from Overwhelm to Optimal Performance, because it's literally a what's the term, Kyle? It's a an ode to all of the admin struggles that dentists have trying to survive the admin avalanche that we have to oversee.
There's this thought, I think, when you get out of dental school that your stress is going to come from the clinical work. And so focus on the clinical work, do that. But I recently did a survey with all the people on my Lightside Academy. And I haven't showed you this yet.
No.
And I asked what caused or causes the most stress in your life as a dental professional. Okay. So 14% was financial. 4% was work-life balance, which I thought was kind of low. 50% was staff. And 28% was patient care. So 50% of the stress, or at least of the people, voted that staff is the biggest stressor. And you and I have seen this, you working at Spear and both of us with our groups and our courses, that people aren't coming to us being like, I just have so much stress with getting the right angle on the prep and packing the cord. It's like, no, because that's what we went to school for so long. That's what we focus all of our time, money, and effort on. But it's these other things that cause so much stress. Now, if you just took some time to put effort into that, learn communication styles, learn how to do a lot of what you do in your in-person coaching programs as well, where you come in and create an alliance, that can reduce so much of the stress.
100%, 100%. And what I also believe, because I've seen this over and over and over again, is most dentists don't even have a handle on the totality of everything that needs to get done. And what do I mean by that? I'll answer it by giving you a symptom. If you have sticky notes all over everywhere, or if you have lists that never seem to get any smaller, congrats, you're in overwhelm. And so understanding the totality of everything that's in front of you is one of the first steps to overcoming the overwhelm. I first came upon this when I was in executive management positions, not just at Spear, but for Vita in North America. I was overseeing the entire North American market for education and key opinion leaders. I had a budget in the millions, and I had, a team at one point that was greater than 20 individuals, and talk about overwhelm. And so I stumbled upon the book Getting Things Done by David Allen, which I've totally embraced for over 10 years now. And it reduces my stress, number one, which he talks about in the book, but it also enables me to wrangle everything that's in front of me, because one of his overarching concepts is that you're getting all these things coming at you that go into an in basket, whether that's an email in basket, voicemail, no, it doesn't matter. That in basket, now don't get scared, people, that in basket needs to be empty at all times. Because when stuff comes in, it then needs to be funneled to the right place so that you can then find it again, deal with it again, schedule it, or do it right then and there. So, as scary as that might sound, and as impossible as it might sound, I want to reiterate something. I didn't say you're getting everything done. I said you're capturing everything and filtering them to the appropriate bucket. And just doing that can reduce your stress dramatically because guess what? You're not going to wake up at 3 in the morning and go, oh my gosh, I need to remember to do X because it's already accounted for and it can change your life.
It's so true. It reminds me of the book Deep Work by Cal Newport. You know, Cal Newport has become fairly famous recently because of his, he has a new book out as well. I can't remember what that one's called, but he talks about deep work. And it's funny how I saw this in the tech world, which was I had work to do, but I had all these meetings where I didn't actually have time to do the work. And that's the same thing that happens with dental professionals, is you have all this work, but you can't do it in 3 minute increments between patients. And so we need to schedule time for this deep work. And I'll tell you, it will decrease your stress, it will get you more organized, and it will grow your business. We know plenty of people, we've given plenty of examples on here, and we've seen in our live courses. People that w take 1 day of admin and they make more money. They're doing less dentistry and they make more money.
Yeah, a hundred
And we've seen
percent.
it time and time again. So we've talked this first part of the podcast really about the importance of taking these admin days. Let's go into a little more of, okay, now I've said I have an admin day. Let's say it's Wednesday, right? I have an admin day. I'm not treating patients that day. I may have an associate, I may still have hygiene, but I'm not treating patients. How do I start? How do I wrangle this day?
I love that. First of all, I want to say something really important. You've been in practice for however long you've been in practice, and Rome wasn't built in a day. And so this process isn't going to get incorporated instantly. It's going to take some work, but the question you need to ask yourself is, how valuable is the stress reduction to me to able to spend so that I'm able to spend that time?
It's like what we always say, Martin. Everything is a skill, right?
Absolutely.
Everything is skill. And guess
Absolutely.
what? Being a good, having a good admin day
Yeah.
is a skill. It's a
Absolutely.
practice skill like anything else.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, you know this. I spend at least an hour every week planning my week. And I look forward to it every week. Why? Because it completely organizes me so I don't feel overwhelmed and then I can celebrate what to do. So let me answer your question. Where do you start? The place you start is by understanding everything that's on your plate. So in my course, in lesson two, I give people literally structure and worksheets to document what it is that's on your plate. And I call it a time versus task audit. We take a look at how we're spending our time today. And then we also think about, okay, what is all the stuff that's on our plate? And literally, I invite you, anybody listening, to be an observer of your own life for a week, 2 weeks, a month. Everybody's life's different, so the time frame's going to depend. And we need to start writing down everything that it is that we need to do, because only when we have an understand of the inventory of tasks can we ever hope to then start to be able to tackle those. So that's the place to start.
Okay, so we've started with knowing what you need to do,
Correct.
which
Correct.
can take a while, right? I mean, there may be
Absolutely.
emails you need to send. You may need to create templates for the practice. You may need to fire somebody. You may need to call your insurance carrier because you have a question about this. You know, you may need to find someone to fix the server in your practice or install
Absolutely.
something new. There's a lot that needs to happen. So once we have all of that, then we need to what? Figure out what takes priority.
Yes, you know my stuff well. So then what I end up guiding people to do is use the Eisenhower Matrix, which is named for our former president, US former president, who wrangled everything he had to do into four buckets based on urgency and importance. So it's basically, if you look at the grid, it's do I need to do it now? Or I would say within a day for dental practices, do I need to schedule it? Do I need to delegate it or do I need to eliminate it from my life? And to to tell you the honest truth, that upper right quadrant, to schedule it, is what makes or breaks most people, because that's the stuff, scheduling things, that not only keeps you on track, but it also helps you to understand the need to capture stuff in order to then go back to later. So I'll give you one simple example. In my business, there are people that I pay that in the US I have to file what's called a 1099 form. So that is due January 30th of the next year, every single year. So in my calendar, I choose to do it in December. I have a note in my December calendar, not only to send the people that need a 1099 form the form, but I also have a note in there about where it is stored, the form. And so these days, using electronic capture systems, whether it's Evernote or OneNote, literally can save you because everything is at your fingertips and searchable at a moment's notice. And that's something I go into in the course as well. But understanding what is on your plate, then categorizing it based on, is this like an urgent thing or a thing that needs to be done every week? Is this a thing that I need to schedule every week or every month or every year? Is this something I really shouldn't be doing? Which, by the way, comes out in the time and task audit worksheets, because it's going to tell you whether you have a surplus or a deficit of time. So, now we're on basically step two.
As you were saying that, I was thinking how I organize things, and one of the most annoying things for me is the mail. I hate the physical mail, but there's things that only come in there, like property tax and things from the DMV and that kind of stuff, right? And I do this. So when I get my property tax, you know how they send you property tax and they send you for both payments, like a year ahead, right? So usually when I get the first one, the payment is within 2 months or so, so I usually pay that one. But then the next one isn't until the following, like 9 months later. And so what I do is I put it into my calendar and I put it as a recurring reminder for about 2 to 3 weeks before it's due. So I think it was just due recently, like I don't know, first week of February or something. So I had from the middle of January to the first week of February, every single day at the end of the day, I had paid property tax because there's some times when I was busy those days. I didn't have time to do it. It doesn't take that long,
Correct.
but I was reminding myself. And I think the important part of that was that I scheduled it.
Oh,
And
100%.
I love what you were saying about the electronic tools that we have now, because I think if you're talking about doing this 30 years ago, this is way more challenging than it is
Oh,
now.
yeah.
We have alarms you can set, calendars that we go off of. You know, you can send yourself an email that arrives at a certain time. I mean, we have so many things to schedule it. Now, I wanted to ask you, you said most people have the biggest problem with the scheduling. Is that because they put it into the do now box?
Well, it depends. But before we get there, I want to ask you a really critical question.
Sure.
What do you do with that paper that has to do with your property tax? Where do you store it?
I store that in my file that is for my house,
Okay.
in
So,
my file folder.
correct. So what you could do in your calendar, for those that are new to this concept completely, is you just make a note in home file folder. Or if you
Yes.
follow some of David Allen's tenets, you would just make a generic January, February, monthly, one file folder for each month. And then if you know you have to pay it in November, you just dump the paper in November and it's there. Now, if it's a link, getting to the electronic capture systems, if it's a link, then you simply put the link in a note in the electronic note capture system titled whatever the heck you want.
Yeah, I did that recently to
Taxes.
where I had to respond to an email and I literally put the title of the email and the date that it was there so that I could go back and search it.
Bingo. Bingo. So those little notes actually save you, by my estimation, hours per year because you're not searching for things. Now, in David Allen's book and also in my course, we talk all about how to actually organize your email folders because there's some really wonderful and so simple ways to be able to do that because you could create monthly email folders. You could create email folders, to-do tasks. You could create, based on companies you interact with. Let's say it's your, dental distributor that you buy all your stuff from. You get the idea. But let's go back to your question about getting in trouble with calendar versus to-do. So, would you mind repeating that for me, please?
Yeah, you said that a lot of people get in trouble with the schedule quadrant. And do you think that's because they move it into the do now quadrant?
Yeah, oftentimes they do. And I'm, I try to really be a master of planning my workout for the future, workout towards.
You plan
so
your
that,
workout too.
yeah, well, yeah, that's on my calendar too. So that I'm not feeling pressured because part of what David Allen talks about, part of what I talk about is the interplay between the calendar and the to-do list, which is kind of part and parcel of your question. Because what is on your calendar should not be on your to-do list because it's on your calendar for a reason. And so the what is on your calendar is a block of time to get a or several actions completed on the calendar. Therefore, it doesn't need to be on your to-do list.
So it should be
Now,
off your to-do list because you've scheduled it.
correct. And the to-do list, and this is so important. The to-do list only and forevermore should ever, or excuse me, should only ever have actionable next steps. So you made a comment about hiring or firing a team member. That should not be on your to-do list. What should be on your to-do list is the next step in that process. Let's go with hiring people because that's more positive. So let's say you need to hire a new team member. What should go on your to-do list is not hire a new team member. It's the next step. It's talk to your office manager about asking him or her to create the job posting. If you're doing it yourself, maybe you're signing up for Indeed. Maybe you're writing the job posting. You see the difference? Because what happens is, talk about overwhelm. If you have all these sticky notes and all these things on a to-do list that just keeps growing, and you look at it and it says, hire new hygienist, well, that's a recipe for overwhelm. Because if everything on there is global actions, you're never going to get anything done because you're just going to feel overwhelmed and go have a cup of coffee or whatever.
I also want to make sure that during these admin days, you set the expectation and set the boundaries with your team that
Bingo.
you are not a dentist today. You are
Absolutely.
not a dentist today. They can talk to you about clinical stuff tomorrow. Now, if it's an emergency, of course, right? If it's something that you need for tomorrow, that a patient's coming in at 9 a.m., okay, of course. But in general, if the question is, should we get Stacy in next Tuesday or next Wednesday? That's not a question for you right now.
Correct,
You know,
correct.
if it's a clinical topic. Now, there may be a business reason why that's the case. And if that's the case, then okay. But you need to set that expectation that I am not the same person that you see me when I have the white coat on and my loops and a mask and gloves. That is Dr. Stanley, the dentist. Right now, I am Kyle, the CEO. I am a different person right now because I've seen this happen before and I saw it happen to me. And, you know, it still happens in my practice sometimes, is the team, because you're there, thinks that you're available to them for things that they may need. It's kind of like anybody that has worked from home. You know, your family or your kids, they see you physically there. So then they, you know, can, like my son, like, can you cut this pear for me? Or, you know, my daughter has to go pee or something. It's like, I am here, but I'm, think of me as being at work.
My eldest brother, who's not a dentist, he was in telephony sales and software sales for years. He was really good at that. Like his family knew, like if dad's at work, unless the house is on fire,
Yes.
literally, I think that's what he said. Unless the house is on fire, do not bother me. And you know, they were good about it. And you know, he stuck to his guns, and we could do a whole episode on how to, maybe we should, how to talk to our team members as it relates to leadership accountability when somebody comes to you. Because you know, look, our team members are intending to do a good job, and nobody's, with very rare exception, nobody's trying to bother you because they're just trying to bother you. They
Yeah.
think they need to bother you. So maybe we could do a whole episode on kind of verbal skills around accountability to also guide your team members to be more autonomous, to think through certain decisions that they come across.
Yeah, I mean, I learned that from a psychologist that we went to, like a family psychologist, when my son was having some challenges. And it was this idea of like, if you can teach them how to solve their own problems, not come to you with solve my problems for me. It's like the whole, teach them how to fish instead of give them the fish. It's so true. And if you can, when you can create team members like that, they're incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, we could even use this as an example for your own workflow. So let's say something comes to your attention that needs to be done. But when you sit down and you think about it, it needs to be done by next Thursday. And today is Tuesday. So rather than derailing what it is you're doing right now, you then therefore put that next actionable step in one of two different ways, either on the to-do list for a given day, if you choose to sequester it that way, or you have your admin day the following week and it goes into an item for you to follow up on that next week. See the difference? And so what ends up happening is you just accounted for it. The likelihood of it not getting done just diminished dramatically versus remembering you have to call Mrs. Jones back, to use an example. And all of a sudden, it takes care of your stress. And when you have these systems set up, it literally takes you 10 seconds, all right, maybe 30, to dump it on a calendar or dump it on a to-do list. It's accounted for. You won't lose it. You're done. And then people go, people will, you will start to see rather people coming to you. And making comments about your efficiency and your workflow, guaranteed.
Now, I think you've told me this before. I've asked you this before, I think. But if I have something that doesn't need to get done for a month, but will only take me 2 minutes to do.
Aha, yes. I had this happen yesterday, literally yesterday. I had a number of administration business stuff to do. Frankly, it was like sending a bunch of invoices to people who are engaging with me. And one of the things I was doing, this is so funny, at that moment was sending W-9s for 2025 to various organizations. In comes an email for a speaking gig in August requesting a W-9 in a month or two. Well, I was sitting here doing that right then. It literally took me 30 seconds. And I said, here you go. You know, I was in the middle of doing this anyway. Let me know if you have any questions. Boom, done. And it didn't go on my to-do list because it took less than 2 minutes. I happened to be engaged in that, ironically enough, same kind of thing. And it was done.
Yeah, it's funny with my W-9s because you and I are similar in the sense that we're private contractors for a lot of speaking engagements, so we get sent W-9s. I have a W-9 set per year, and it's called W-9 in my computer. And so when someone asks for that, I search W-9, drag it over to the email, and send it. I don't create a new one every time.
Oh yeah,
It's like
totally.
something small that I do, you know.
Oh, a
Every
hundred
once in a
percent.
while, if it's like towards the end of the year, I will just change the date on it. Usually I just keep the same date.
Absolutely. And you know, that's a good example because whether, you know, whether it's a W-9 or other type of business document, Again, whether you use global search in your computer or you use one of these electronic capture systems, you create a note that says W9, you drag the file over there, you go to your electronic capture system, you put in W9 in the search, it immediately pops up, you drag and drop, and you're done. So either way, it's the same idea, but the methodology is slightly different.
I want to talk about something too that I really learned from Christian Coachman, which is the idea of asynchronous communication. So, on these admin days that you have, you may have things where you need to talk to people. So, you need to talk to your orthodontist, you need to talk to your laboratory technician, you need to whatever. I think utilizing asynchronous communication is really the modern way of doing this. Thinking that two very busy professionals are going to meet up for lunch to talk about a patient, I think is kind of silly, especially right now with what we have with voice memos. I mean, I love voice memos. So easy. It's way easier than talking. I sent you a voice memo, I think, yesterday. And let's say the question is about an implant and you're talking to your surgical specialist, right? I would hope that you have their cell phone and you pull up your phone and you say, hey doc, I want to talk to you about Jane Doe, that tooth number 24. I looked at it and I think we can do this or that. How deep are you planning on placing this? I just want to make sure I have a good emergence profile. Now, they may be in a surgery at that point, but at some point they're going to have 5 minutes or they're going to have an admin day that they come back and send you either a text back or any or a voice memo back. And so I think this whole idea of scheduling things so far out because you're waiting for both of you to have the same amount of time together is an old way of thinking, in my opinion.
It is, and let me add something to that because you just made me th think of something I hadn't thought of before. There are a number of calendar apps out there. Like one of the more popular ones is called Calendly, and you can schedule your available calendar time in Calendly, and you can create a link to that calendar that's 100% private. And so if you have an admin day, and let's say it is important that you have synchronous communication with some of these individuals on a regular basis, you can decide that from 2 to 4 on your admin day, you're going to be available to have those conversations. Well, you can create a Calendly link that gives you availability at, let's say, 30-minute chunks between 2 to 4. And then maybe from 4:30 to 5:30 on a Wednesday, you get the idea.
Calendly
Again,
has changed my life. I
oh,
have to
it makes
say,
it so
such
easy.
a genius program. I know HubSpot has a
They
version
do
of it
too.
too, but just that whole idea that we used to do, like, hey, is Tuesday work for you? Yeah, I can do Tuesday. Okay, do you have 10:30 or 11? Oh no, I don't. I have 2 or 3. Oh, okay. What about this day? Do you have I mean, all of that, it's
It's and for those that are unfamiliar with it, it completely saves the back and forth because basically what you can do, again, if you save the link on your electronic capture system that's on your phone and you're texting your surgical specialist, you copy the link, you paste it into a text and say, "Hey, I know we got to talk about this. Here's my calendar link when I'm available for these kind of conversations." And it ends there because unless they can't make the number of times that you've sequestered, they just literally put themselves into your calendar. And you can do it as just simple phone calls. You could do it as Zooms or whatever you want, Google Meets, whatever. So that also becomes a critical tool for organization that also saves you time because you don't have to go back and forth. Today, just as an example, I was going back and forth with the CEO of a pretty large practice here in the Phoenix area. He said he wanted to meet with me. I said, "Great, here's my calendar link." He dumped himself into my calendar for Friday, and it saved both of us any additional time. It's a
And I
brilliant
think this
tool.
is where it's going with scheduling for dental appointments as well. Like one of the companies that I advise for is called the Dental App, which in my opinion is probably the best new practice management system around, cloud-based, AI built in, ton of really cool stuff. But one of the things they have is the ability to put your calendar on your website and patients to book directly in. Because think about your front office, they're checking someone out. There's a new patient that just showed up that needs to sign consent forms, and someone's calling saying, what time can I come in? All of that can be automated.
It can. And what I will say this, the people that get most concerned about that because they say, well, there's too much variability, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yes and no. Yes, there's variability. However, if you've taken the time to create a scheduling template,
Yes.
then it reduces those variables. And side note about scheduling templates, these are living, breathing entities. These are
Yeah.
entities that are subject to change. You're
Yes.
not creating this and then never touching it again. That's foolhardy because sometimes theory and practice don't match. And so that's a whole nother subject. But,
Yeah, but in
practice.
that example, you can say, I only want to see aligner cases on Friday afternoons.
Bingo.
So the people that go in, and there's different programs for this. The one I'm talking about is from the dental app. You can go in and say, like the patient will say, what is this? The question will say, what is this for? Oh, I'd like an exam. Ah, okay. So we know exams at our practice are, let's say it's 45 minutes, right? And you can also put that exam only happens at these certain times. So it's only going to show them the times where you want an exam to happen. Or
And
vice versa, if whether it's a surgery or whether it's a veneer prep or something.
can we just pause and talk about something we've talked about before, which is, can we please stop getting out of our own way relative to we have to be able to provide appointment when the patient is available? Yes,
So
of course, we
true.
need to have reasonable office hours, patient office hours. Yes, of course. Nobody's arguing that. But I don't know about you all, folk. When was the last time you went to a medical doctor and you needed a certain type of exam or a certain type of follow-up after a procedure, they don't ask you when you're available. They go, "How's Tuesday at 2?" Right?
Sometimes they don't even say how's Tuesday at 2. They
Well, that's
say
true too. That's true too.
doctor's available on Tuesday at 2. And you
100%.
say, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Like when I had my surgery, it was the same thing. It was like, it's going to be May 19th and surgery starts at 8. You have to be there at 6.
So,
Okay.
we've talked a little bit about like how to start. We talked about the time and task audit. We talked about prioritization through the Eisenhower matrix. We then, talked about the idea that the to-do list is not the same as the calendar, that everything on your to-do list has to be the next actionable item. The one thing I didn't mention was, one of David Allen's concepts that I really like is the fact that, yes, nothing goes on your to-do list that isn't an actionable item, but if that thing has multiple steps, it becomes what he calls a project. And with these electronic capture systems, nothing, it couldn't be easier because you just open up a note and you could even do stream of consciousness in bullet form, need to hire a hygienist. What are the things that we need to do? Boom, 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 boom. And then as you go through the process, you just simply click back to the project list to understand what your next step is. And when that's done, just delete the note versus
A great
having.
one that I've used is Asana for this. Have you ever used Asana? Yeah, Asana was great like this. We used it at Pearl for a little bit too, which was, and what's great about that, and we used it at my practice actually too. So you have a project, like you said, the project is hire a new hygienist. And then you have all the tasks underneath that need to happen. And those can even have subtasks. So like you can say register for Indeed, but that can also be like add credit card to Indeed, or like if you wanted to get that granular with it, I would also add that the more granular you are with a task, in my opinion, when you click off of those, when you check those off the box, the more satisfaction you get
Oh,
from
100%.
doing these.
Oh my gosh. It's like some of my, I love my to-do list is always up on my screen when I'm home, of course. And I get so excited to check stuff off. And, I'll go out of my way to actually put stuff on there that I need to do that wasn't on there A, so it gets done, but B, so I can check it off. Like right
Yeah.
after we stop the recording here, I have to upload our next podcast episode. Well, that's on my to-do list because
Yeah.
I might forget that. But I like what you said about Asana, and yes, those are really great tools, and I totally recommend them, and I use similar. And what I'd also say is when you're first getting started, just use Evernote or OneNote or something like that, unless you really want to get into it, because it's a little bit of a behavioral shift. And I will say, from my own personal observation and the observation of my coaching clients, it seems like it's a bit of work in the beginning, but then once you get it moving like a flywheel, oh my gosh, it ends up serving you versus the other way around, right?
Yeah.
The other thing I want to say, I want to talk a little quickly about email, because you mentioned that earlier as well. And email can be organized so simply. It doesn't matter what email client you have. And so you can create folders for, let's say it's finance. And so you have a folder for your accountant, you have a folder for your tax, attorney, or maybe you make it HR. And then under that, it's, accounting, taxes, HR, et cetera. Because I'm a speaker, I have a folder with a year title. And then under each year are the individual speaking opportunities. And I literally just dump those emails in there. Why? Because it's following Mr. Allen's idea that my inbox should always be empty. Now, in my course, I go, eh, that's not so realistic because there would be stuff in your inbox that you're dealing with that day. So why drag and drop if you're going to deal with it that day, right? But I can tell you in all candor, setting up the email folders, like for example, my book is coming out later this year. So I have a book folder, but in the book is my publisher, my agent, and my writers as separate subfolders. And I can't tell you how much time it saves me when I'm looking for an email to simply go to the folder. Because I jokingly say in my course multiple times, email search functionality suck. And I don't know about you, but oh my gosh, I've lost track of the number of times I've tried to find an email that I know is there, but I can't find it through the search functionalities. And I've completely eliminated that problem by simply taking the 10 seconds to create a folder within my tree of email folders. It is life-changing, particularly when you have, business emails you're dealing with, team emails you're dealing with, personal emails you're dealing with, emails from your landlord, emails from Patterson or Shine, all that kind of stuff. It's just, it makes a huge difference.
So I think this was good today. We've talked about first having admin days, number one, step zero. Need to have admin days, need to set our expectations and boundaries with our team on those admin days. Need to take an inventory of what needs to be done, prioritize things, schedule things, delegate things. I think we should actually do a whole podcast on delegation.
Yeah, I was going to say we didn't even get to
We
that, and
didn't get too far into that.
that's also in my course, is a whole lesson on delegation with a delegation framework and leadership accountability and subordinate accountability, et cetera.
Yeah, and then we talked about how to organize tasks so that they get done. And so I think this is a very important topic. It's a very
Oh, it's
important
huge.
topic that dental professionals need to know, whether you're a practice owner or not. Because, listen, even if you're an associate, your admin day may be Saturday. And so, what I mean by that is, yeah, you're not organizing things at the practice, but you're paying your malpractice insurance and you're talking to your gardener about something and you're taking your car to get an oil change and you're taking your daughter to, you have to pay for your daughter's ballet class or whatever it is. Like, this isn't a dental problem. We gave a lot of dental examples, but this is really a human problem and understanding how to take time for this, how to organize this, and how to get it done will reduce a lot of stress and give you better wellness in dentistry. You know, that's why we're here, is we talk about patient wellness, we talk about practitioner wellness, which is a big one, and we talk about the practice wellness too. So that is all the business side. And when you focus on the business, it's funny how you get practice wellness, but you also get practitioner wellness too,
Yeah,
because you
100%.
highly reduce your stress.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, what we're talking about is how to run a business. And so whether you're a dentist that's at the chair, 4, 6, 8 hours a day, or you're a baker baking bread, or you're a realtor with clients, it's all the same. It's
Yes.
all the same.
Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this. If you have, we would love if you would share this with a colleague. That really helps us. If you want to come hang out with us for 2 days, you can come to our Lightside Live in-person transformational CE course. You get 12 CE credits. It's 2 days, and it's in Southern California on May 9th and 10th, 2025. You can go to wellnessanddentistry.com, look at our links, and you'll find it there. And we appreciate you listening today, and we'll see you on the next episode. Thanks a
Bye-bye.
lot.